Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And so far, a good month. It's only May 4th as I record this. I want to apologize because I was supposed to put out a podcast on Tuesday. But I have not been feeling well. You guys know I have an autoimmune disorder, which is in remission. But when you have an autoimmune disorder, other things happen to your body. And you're just sick sometimes. And my stomach is a continual issue for me now. Let's just say I've been having some stomach troubles. And it's hard to distinguish between is it my normal autoimmune stuff going on? Do I have something that else, or is it, you know, a stomach bug? There is some stomach bug going around. So who knows, right? Important thing is I have not been feeling well. Today's the first day that I've been feeling just a little bit better. And I am now going to record, I'm recording this podcast. I actually had recorded one last week, but decided that making a whole podcast on that one topic, which I'm going to talk about, it wasn't going to be the greatest idea. You know how when something first happens, it's a big deal. It feels huge. You calm down and you go, that wasn't such a big deal. And that's what happened to me in hindsight. Not such a big deal. And stay tuned. I will talk about it. But first, I want to remind you that I'm a coach. Please go to my link tree in the description and click on it. The first button is book a session. Click on that for the information. I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you. I've been through it all, okay? I have been through cutting off my mother and my father, cutting off my family one by one. And that has not been easy because the bottom line is if you have a family that needs to be in your business, cutting them off one by one is not a good idea. The best idea is cutting them off all at once, putting down the strongest boundary and saying goodbye. Now, I understand that not every single one of you is the same. That not every single one of you has the same situation. Some of you may actually have some family members that see the narcissist for who they are and that you can talk to them. That's wonderful. So I've seen and heard so many stories. Remember, this is not the only thing I do. I have a Facebook group, which please, it's also linked in the description. It's private. I don't get anything out of it except you get the best advice from the smartest people on narcissism. And I'm not saying that just to say that. I do read. Even if I don't comment on something, I read through and I'm shocked at the advice that they give you because that's exactly the advice. Sometimes I just say, I don't have anything else to say. I just want you to know that I read it, you know? Their advice is wonderful. They've been through it all. So join my Facebook group. It is private, so no one can see it. Okay, which means if you post on it, your post cannot be seen outside of the group. You know how sometimes you comment on some post that's floating and on Facebook, and then your friends see it because you commented on it? That will not happen if that's your fear. You do have to answer 3 questions and agree to the rules. Believe me, and this is, of course, I'm telling you, but you're not the ones that would do this. Because if you're listening to this, you are going to answer the 3 questions. But I get people who say yes, 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 and expect to be let in or don't answer the questions at all. I'm not going to let you in. Or if you answer, try to get in the group and answer the questions, and you don't get let in right away, check your instant messages, because I may have sent you something, or my assistant, who has been doing a fantastic job, by the way, I haven't even seen anything that I have to do. She is also doing the same thing I do. She looks through to make sure you didn't just open an account. And I know a lot of you are like, I don't want to use my old Facebook account. And that's fine. But I need to know that, right? Because sometimes we don't want any trolls. We don't want people that a flying monkey of one of you to get in. And the only reason that they would know that is if they're friends of yours on Facebook and they look at the groups you're in. That is one thing that I cannot control. They can see that you're in the group. They just can't go into the group, right? Unless they try to get in another way, right? What else? So please, if you need help, if you're in distress, book a coaching session with me, okay? I can help you at whatever stage you're at, okay? When I went no contact with my mother, I didn't know narcissism was a thing yet. Not really, okay? I did all of my learning post no contact, okay? I've had so much experience. What I was trying to prove to you with the Facebook group thing is I've heard it all. There is probably not much that you can tell me that I haven't heard. I know that your situation is important to you, and it is important, right? What's going on with you, but it's not, you're probably not going to tell me something I haven't already heard, because unlike what you may think or what other people think, narcissists are all the same, okay? They give them a guidebook when the minute they're born, and they go, this is what you do to be a narcissist. And they all do the same things, okay? For example, when I get an email or a message, and please, if you feel like you want to tell me something, go ahead and tell me. They send me text messages or an email from their narcissistic mother or father or both of them, because the enabler is just as bad. It usually says, one of the lines is almost always, I'm sorry you feel that way. That is the most passive aggressive way of not taking accountability. And I always look for that line, because it's almost there every time. And they will never say, I'm sorry we hurt you by doing this. That's a real apology, right? That's a real apology. And if you have to ask for an apology, it's not an apology anymore. An apology has to come from the heart. An apology means, I realized I hurt you and I want to make it better. Okay. All right. So I'm going to start the podcast off with what the other podcast was about, which was that, again, we put up boundaries, right? We usually try to put boundaries, which is mistaken with a narcissist, that are weak, okay? It's almost like testing what boundary I can get away with without having to block them and protect myself completely. please listen to the last podcast about going no contact, right? So you make it so you just don't call them and you wait and see, and you realize pretty quickly that's not enough of a boundary. Because when you tell someone, when you tell a narcissist or any toxic person, this is my boundary, guess what? They hear, oh, this is a dare. This is a challenge. I'm going to step all over your boundary. And they do. Believe me, they do. Okay? So you don't want to do that. You don't want to give them a challenge. What you want to do is actually give them a boundary that they can't cross. And it's not a punishment. It is a boundary to protect yourself. All right. So I thought I had protected myself completely. I've blocked everyone. All right. There's nobody left to block. There isn't. I have not blocked my father because he is not calling or texting me. He's the silent treatment type. He's punishing me right now, or so he thinks. And this is my dad, and what's going on with him is going to be what this podcast is about, but not just about him, but what we do to stay stuck, okay, and to unstick ourselves. And believe me, I'm still struggling, okay? Because the disappointment with my dad has been so great that I'm still struggling with it. But, so I thought I had every boundary you could think of up. So this is what happened. And again, I don't want to, I can't go into too much detail. But I got a text that was really weird. It was someone, it was, I don't know when it was, last week. Maybe a week ago, I got a text at night saying, hey, can we cancel yoga tomorrow? And I was like, that's weird. I was like, no, you have the wrong number. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I said, no need to be embarrassed. Oh, you're so nice. And this person struck a conversation with me. She told me her name. Well, I say she, but I don't know who the hell was on the other end of that text, right? And the next morning, I had a good morning text. She gave me another number because that number was her work number. And we were chatting a little bit and she started to ask a lot of questions. And we have to follow our instincts on things. Believe me, we have a gut for a reason, right? My gut's broken right now, but not my gut feeling, just my stomach doesn't feel well. But our gut instincts are always on point, okay? So listen to your gut. The minute she started, like, so what do you do for work? And I'm like, are we friends? Do I know you, you know? And I went along with it for a little while, right? I told her I was anxious. I was a very anxious person. I had work anxiety, and I wasn't working. And she responded to that. And I realized I can't continue this conversation because this is a stranger. Or what, or is it, right? So I was very guarded. So finally I ended up just telling her, hey, the jig is up. I know you're not a stranger. Let me tell you something. Her reaction told me that I was right. She gave me two phone numbers. She said she was from Seattle, both phone numbers. One was from Rhode Island, one was from Maryland. Okay, so your personal number could be from anywhere. I mean, there are people, you know, here where I live that have the original phone cell phone numbers from where they're from, right? And they don't want to change that. And that's not a big deal. But your work number should be from where you work. And she gave me some, what sounds to me like BS job. Like, I'm a cross-borders e-commerce person. E-commerce, I had to look it up. First of all, the title she gave me doesn't really exist. The cross borders. E-commerce is when you sell anything online. That's e-commerce. All right. So like an Etsy shop, that's e-commerce. All right. So she gave me a bogus kind of title that didn't make sense to me. And please, if I'm wrong, contact me. Let me know. Go to my Instagram or email me. My email address is also in the description. So, sorry, brain fog. When I told her that, she got very defensive. I know they're not from Seattle, but I have a number from Malaysia and a number from another country and this and that. And I was like, okay, no, this is, you know, I said, look, I don't trust you. I'm going to block you. I guarantee you 100% that was a plant from somewhere. Now, to be completely honest, I don't think it's my family. I think it was my ex's wife. That woman has been, I could do 500 podcasts on her alone and how she's behaved since she met my ex. I divorced him, yet she has hated me since day one, just for my existence. Hence the reason whenever I get a situation on Instagram where it's a stepmom saying that the mom is a narcissist. So it's we're not talking about adult children. We're talking about small children. A stepmom saying that the mom is a narcissist of the kids. I don't get involved in that and I'm straight up and I just kick them out of my group. That's not what my group is about. My group is about adult children, us. The ones that have the right to make a choice, not that has people trying to influence kids. That drives me crazy. I don't want to deal with it because I dealt with it for many years. Okay? I dealt with my daughter's stepmother manipulating situations, being a horrible person to my daughter directly. And I'm at the point where I'm just no contact with them. And maybe it's killing her and she sent someone to do this. Anyway, so that's the end of that story. That's what that was about. I'm sorry that I sound a little weird. I'm trying to find out how long I've been on here talking. It's hard for me to see on GarageBand, the timer, and I can't see it, as a matter of fact. I cannot. I am blind. I'm going blind. So, I think it's like 12 minutes, maybe? 17 minutes? I can't tell. All right. So, what I want to talk about today, with a serious topic today, and what I hope helps you, is why do we suffer so much and why we're stuck, right? You may feel stuck. Some of you don't, okay? I will say that. This is not everybody. I went no contact with my mom and it was the best thing I ever did. That could be many things. That could be true. That could be denial, right? It could be when, because it's hard to think that you got no contact with your own mother and that it's not going to affect you and that just being no contact is free and you feel great afterwards. I've never claimed that. Never. Okay. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of podcasts that talk about what happens after you go no contact, and it's never, you feel free. At first, you might feel a huge relief, but it starts to sink in that you're not talking to your mother, and then the other issues that happen that trigger a whole set of other problems because you've got no contact. If you do anything against a narcissist, they're going to retaliate. And that is the smear campaign, the flying monkeys. That's when things get complicated, right? It's not an easy thing to do. But for your emotional well-being, it's probably the best thing to do. But why do we feel stuck in a situation where you've got no contact and they haven't tried anything and they're not doing anything? Thumby? My cat has a bad habit. Every single podcast my cat is in, one of my cats is in. Thumby, no. She likes to scratch shoes. She's ruined quite a few pairs of shoes. I was talking about going no contact and feeling stuck. So you've got no contact. They're either stonewalling you or they are trying to hoover you, but you're feeling stuck. Okay, and you've done everything right. Let's just put that scenario. You've blocked them on everything. You've blocked them on social media. You've blocked all the flying monkeys, which takes a long time because you don't know who a flying monkey is. And sometimes it's just the entire family and you gotta let them go. That's my story. But my family's really small, so go figure, right? It's only a few people that I had to block. And you think everything's going fine, but you feel stuck. You feel like you can't get over it. You just can't move on. You can't get over it. And you don't know why. And I'm going to tell you why right now. Okay? Acceptance. You have not accepted your mother or father for who they truly are. Okay? You keep thinking they will change. I'm going to tell you this right now. They are not going to change. You are not going to get a miraculous email saying, I know everything I've done. They list all the things they've done wrong and they apologize. You may get an email that says, I'm sorry you feel that way, but we tried the best that we could. I mean, all the sacrifices we did, we worked so that you had food, right? That kind of, oh, you did the bare minimum kind of thing, okay? I'm Generation X, and I think Generation X is the first generation that has looked back at our upbringing and seen that the upbringing that we got from our parents is not good, that they were emotionally distant. Now, the majority of Generation Xers were brought up as feral. That word feral comes up a lot. On TikTok, I follow a lot of these therapists that deal with this kind of generational thing. Not all of us were feral. Okay? Yes, my husband was a feral Gen Xer, right? He was a latchkey kid. What does that mean? He would come home from school. His mother was working. He had a key. He was like in second grade and he was left home alone until the parents came home. That's feral upbringing, what they consider feral upbringing. And they would go out and play when they were still children in elementary school. And they would have to be home when the street lamps came on, right? That's feral upbringing, okay? That was not my experience. My mother was the controlling, overbearing, had to be in my life, in every second of my life, parent. So I did not experience that feral upbringing, which I envy, okay? I truly envy when I hear, we were brought up this way, and, you know, it made us who we are. we're independent and this and that. I wish. Okay? And though that upbringing has its problems too, because there's no emotional connection. Not that I had one with my mother either. That's the problem. I didn't have that either. But I didn't have that freedom that a lot of these Generation X kids did. And maybe you were a feral kid, maybe you weren't. I don't know where you're listening. Maybe it was different where you grew up, but our generation tends to have that. Or maybe you're not my generation, or maybe there's a lot of millennials who were brought up, especially if you're an older millennial, you were brought up the same way, right? If you're young, if you're like a Zennial or a Gen Z, then you might have a completely different, right, upbringing. Or you may, Gen Zers did not play outside that much, okay? I'm the mother of a Gen Zer. No matter how much I wanted my daughter to play outside, she had some anxiety and depression issues that I was very aware of, and I was very, and especially came out a lot in high school, middle school and high school, and I tried very hard to be there for her, to get her help. But it, you know, with kids, it's difficult. It's difficult. You cannot force a kid to go talk to a therapist. I mean, you can force a child, but you can't force a teenager. You just can't. So all you can do is tell them, hey, I'm here for you. If you need anything. She got through those years. She is, right now, she's thriving. And that's a wonderful thing to see her thriving. But I know that anxiety can pop up at any time. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So anyway, back to where I was going. Acceptance. You must look at the situation that you're in with your mother, father, whoever it is, and see it for what it is, not for what you want it to be. Okay, I understand that you may want it to be that they'll change. Okay, we go through that. They'll change. Things will change. I've got no contact. They're going to change. That'll teach them a lesson. No, it's not. You go no contact for yourself, and you're never going to get that apology. If they're truly a narcissist, okay? Remember, what I talk about here is if they truly are a narcissist, and I'm not a therapist. I'm a person who is very well informed, have listened and watched and read, you know, many books, have watched many YouTube videos made by therapists. I'm big fans of these people. And so I know a lot about this, okay? Outside of my own experience, I know a lot about this. If they're truly a narcissist, they don't see that they can do anything wrong. They truly believe that they are at a level of godness, right? And I remember telling my mother, actually asking her, do you think you're God? Because the things that would come out of her mouth were just so shocking to me that were like, do you really believe your own crap? And yeah, she absolutely did. But that, the idea that they're going to change, that they're going to miraculously turn around and say, hey, I'm sorry that I hurt you your entire life. I'm sorry that I continually hurt you now. That is not something that is going to happen. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't. It does not happen. Because that's not who they are. Narcissists cannot look within to say, hey, I did something wrong. They never, everyone else is wrong. okay? They blame shift. They're never wrong. So we're at fault for the stuff they did to us. So we learn, unfortunately, to take on responsibility for things we didn't do in other situations as well. There is so much undoing. I wanted to use a different word, but I can't. There's so much undoing that we have to do after we separate ourselves from the narcissist. Because we have learned so many bad ways to cope. Or we were just taught, this is the way it is. You are always wrong. So we continue to live our lives as if we are always wrong. Okay? And then we've also got some narcissistic fleas. Because you're raised by a narcissist, you're going to pick up some stuff you don't want. And you have to be aware of that too. Okay? But going back to the acceptance piece, you have to accept your mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, whoever, for who they truly are, for what they have shown you. The proof is in the pudding, okay? The expression, believe what they do. Not what they say, but what they do. Okay? So you cannot move on or heal until you do that. You can't. It's impossible because you're always going to have in the back of your mind the hope that they are going to suddenly see things differently, come back to you and apologize, and everything is going to go great. You're going to have your parents again. You're going to have your family again. Believe me, I know. I still sit here and cry. Okay? Because my father has been a giant disappointment. I thought when my mother died that was my opportunity to get my father back. And instead, he's mad at me. Which makes no sense. Because he knows he was there. He knows what he did, number one. And actually, I was reading up on this because I wanted a little more. It's not that I didn't know it, but I wanted to read it somewhere. There is something very validating, just like what I'm doing for you, in going and reading what you already know somewhere else. Someone else is telling you you're right. What you're thinking is correct, right? And I'm telling that to you. What you're thinking is correct, right? I looked up the enabler, okay? And my specific situation is really hard to pin down, you know. My mother died and my dad doesn't want to talk to me, you know. That's not easy to kind of Google. But I did get a lot of the information. I found a page where they list the things that the enabler does. Okay? The enabler knows what they did. Okay? Sometimes they're so enmeshed that they don't see what they've done wrong. But one of the reasons they may not want contact with you is because they know damn well what they did. They know that they chose their own safety over yours. That they weren't there to protect you. And then they don't want to take accountability for that. They know that if they are in a relationship with you, right? My father in this case, or your mother or your father, whoever the enabler was, that they would have to admit that they supported someone who they knew was hurting you because they didn't want to be hurt. Okay? In my father's case, I assume a lot of it has to do with his own lack of self. Lack of self. I should have put a period there. My father has never been a person to me. Don't know who he is. That is such a weird thing to say, but I don't know who he is. I know what he's done. I know that he had 2 marriages, 3 kids. He hid from me, which means he didn't talk to for many years. they're not in contact with him now. I'm in contact with one of my brothers from time to time. The one I haven't met yet in person, he's the only one I like. I do like him. He is so cool. He is laid back. Me and him could have been best friends if we had grown up together. He would have been my protector. He would have been my father figure, in a sense. I could feel that. But my issue and my suffering with my father comes with, maybe he'll wake up tomorrow and understand and see what happened and understand it and admit it. And he's not. Sometimes I think about it myself and go, why would you think that? He spent 42 years hiding three brothers from you. Why would he come to the realization of what a jerk he's been, what a horrible father he was to you, and he abandoned three kids? You know, it's so much that I get it. I get why he doesn't want to talk to me. You know? I understand it. Am I okay with it? I have to be. That's where acceptance comes in, is looking at the situation and not thinking they're going to change. I still want that little bit of contact because there's that little bit of me that has hope, which is the four-letter word in our situation. Hope is a four-letter word. There's an old podcast of mine. I suggest highly that you look for it. It's called Hope is a Four-Letter Word. It's old. It's a couple of years old, but it's a good freaking podcast because I talk about this. I talk about the experience of having hope keeping you stuck. Hope keeps you stuck. Acceptance sets you free. Okay? You want to be successful in your life? You want to move on and feel free? You have to let go of any of that hope that they're going to change. Because they're not going to change. Okay, this is who they are. Therapy will not change them because they will never go to therapy. Even if they go to therapy, all they do is convince the therapist that they know how to manipulate things. They turn into the victim immediately or they go on the offensive. Whatever tactic they use. Narcissists are the most dangerous, evil people to deal with. Okay, and I know you have to deal with them because you're going to work with them. You're going to tell me that you're going to work with people that aren't toxic? Of course, you're going to work with toxic people. But you have to learn to kind of put a block on your emotions and don't let that in. If you work with a narcissist, you have to stay away from them as much as you can. If it's the narcissist is your supervisor, your boss, in my case, my principal, please quit the job. Just quit the job. Start looking for work immediately and quit that job because that is a miserable experience. You can't get away from that person. All right, so I'm going to end it there. I hope that that was a helpful podcast. That it just puts you in that place of one step closer to seeing the narcissist for who they are, okay? And not just seeing them for who they are, but accepting it, saying, this is my mother. My mother is like this. There's nothing I can do about it. She's not going to change. I'm not going to be running through a field of flowers holding hands with my mom. That's a childlike image, right? Because that's what we're hoping for. Not literally, but in some ways that's what we want. We want the happy mom. We want the situation where we're the ones posting on Facebook or Instagram, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom, I love you so much." That's not our situation. Okay? I have to tell you something. I'm very impressed with Ancestry. Ancestry.com. I did a DNA test. years ago in 2000, what was it, 18. And I'm impressed with them. I got an email saying, click here if you do not want the Mother's Day emails. I am beyond impressed by a company as a whole accepting and seeing that not all of us have good relationships with our mothers, and we don't want that Mother's Day crap thrown in our face right now. Now, I don't want to, I'm saying that, but I'm a mother. So Mother's Day is not about her anymore. It hasn't been for many years. It's about me. I'm a mom. Right? Mother's Day was about her mostly. And then she was out of my life, and it became about me a little bit more. It still feels weird. But I can accept that. I'm more attuned to the fact that it's about me now, you know, because I'm my daughter's mother, and she sees the effort that I make, that I'm making, right? All right, guys, remember, acceptance is the only thing that's going to set you free. It is. Stop trying to fit your parent into a hole when they are square, okay? It's not going to happen. They're not going to change. Narcissists do not change. They don't, okay? The statistic was such a small percent of narcissists that even searched for help, got help. And even if they do, they're still narcissists. They're just aware of what they're doing. Right? I mean, they are aware of what they're doing. I follow this one guy on TikTok, and I, you know, TikTok, take it with a grain of salt. But he seems to be an aware narcissist, and it's really weird to hear him talk about himself and say, yeah, this is what I used to do to my wife or my partner. It's like, oh my God, they know what they're doing. They really do. He talks about the thoughts and the process in his head of what he was doing to his partner. That's your mother or your father also. Okay? All right, guys, I love you. Please remember, if you need help, I'm here to help you. Okay? That is what I want to do. That is what, you know, giving this up has never really been an option for me, even though I've said I need a break, because I do sometimes. But I'm here. I will have a coaching session. And I know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you figured that out yet. Maybe I'm a narcissist. No, I've just, it's many, many years of experience now. And now I have real life, like with my group and being in a group and my Instagram page. I know a lot. I love you guys very much. And I hope this was a helpful podcast. I hope that you have learned to accept what is and not create a fantasy of what could be. Because that's going to keep you stuck. Be free. Open your wings and fly. And leave behind what doesn't serve you. I love you. And until next time.